And my subject tonight is the arrows of deliverance. The arrows of deliverance. Maybe you need a breakthrough in some area of your life. Your money, your finances, your ministry, on your job, in your marriage, or some other area of life. But I pray that this message will encourage you and inspire you and build faith in your heart so you can go into your future with a spirit of expectancy. You got to invest in a miracle and you got to expect a miracle. You got to sow your seed and then you got to expect a harvest. But I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 13, beginning in verse 14. It says, now Elisha was fallen sick of the sickness wherein he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took him bows and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. He's getting ready to transfer some anointing here. Hallelujah. And he said, open the windows eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrows of the Lord's deliverance and the arrows of the deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians and Aphek till thou hast consumed them. Now the prophet has just taken a great anointing. He has released it upon him. And look at what the king does. He said, you can consume them. He said, take this arrow. Verse 18. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice, three times, and stayed, or he stopped. Then the man of God was wroth. He was angry with him. You mean the prophet got angry? You better believe it. He was angry with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then thou hast smitten Syria till thou had consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him, and the band of the Moabites invaded the land of the coming end of the year. Verse 21. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his seat. My subject tonight, the arrows of the Lord's deliverance. Anybody need deliverance? I got a message for you. Let us pray. Father, we praise you and we love you. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. Thank you for the miracles we've witnessed, Lord, that people we've seen saved, the healings we've seen. And God, I believe there's a much, much more to come. And we praise you for all that you do. And we praise you, Lord, for the privilege to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, to hear the word of God, so our faith can grow and we can become more than conquerors. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Now, most of you know the story of Elijah the prophet and Elisha the plowboy who served him and later had the audacity to ask the prophet for a double portion anointing. So Elisha, he begins to flow and follow and serve the prophet of God. And through his faithfulness and his service to this older prophet, Elisha began to enter into a realm of anointing that God had purposed for his life. Through his faithfulness in small things and insignificant things, he received the double portion anointing. Before you can have great days, you'll have to be faithful in small things. And through faithfulness in insignificant tasks, such as pouring water on the hands of the prophet, he entered into a mighty world-shaking ministry. When it looks like that there's nothing going on and everybody was talking about Elijah and his great ministry, God had his eyes upon a man called Elisha and his faithfulness in the seemingly insignificant task that he was doing unto the Lord. He was serving the prophet, but he was doing it unto the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, let me tell you something, do it as unto the Lord. When God has much for you to do, he starts with little. He watches what you do with little. And God knows if you're not faithful with a little, then he can't trust you with much. If God cannot trust you to pay tithe on $200 per week, how in the world can he trust you to pay your tithe on $2,000 per week? If you're not diligent and fired up and excited and faithful about the little places where God has placed you, you can forget bigger things, because it doesn't happen until you outgrow where you are. But if you can reach a place where you outgrow where you are, then you can enter into what God has purposed for your life. I was studying about the leper. I'm going to preach on that pretty soon. It came down from the mountain and Jesus healed him. And I'd been studying a lot of other things in the Bible, and I'm washing my car, just talking to the Lord, praising God, thanking him for all his blessings upon my life. And God spoke to me. He said, I told Peter to launch out into the deep. He said he had fished all night. He said, but nothing happened until I told Peter, launch out into the deep. And when he launched out at my word, when he waited till I spoke to him, he took in so much, he had to call his fishing buddies to come and help him get all of the catch into the boats. He had a boat sinking catch. Hallelujah. But see, the Bible says that a man's gifts will make room for him and bring him before great men. But when God bestows greatness in your life, he rarely does it quickly. He chooses to take you through smallness. He takes you through days when you feel like you are spinning your wheels. He takes you through those times when you're frustrated and you feel like you're not getting anywhere. Has anybody other than me ever felt like that at times? Amen. Well, that's God working. That's the Holy Ghost. Do you want to know why God does that? He does that because that's where he separates the committed from the non-committed. I'm concerned today that we don't understand God's prerequisites for greatness and for his blessings in our lives. And it begins with faithfulness in small things where God has placed us and called us. See, we're in a hurry. We want everything quickly. But God says, like he said to the prophet, he says, one day you're going to be great. One day you're going to shake nations. One day you're going to perform miracles. But right now, I want you to be faithful where I have placed you. It's my will. It's my plan. All things work together for my good, not for just your good. And for my good, God said. And I'm not at a loss about my purpose in your life. God said, I know exactly where you are, and I want you to be faithful, and I want you to wait your turn. See, God does not want you to be intimidated by other people's success. We look at the success of others and we forget where God has placed us and what God is doing in our lives. See, God, and I'm going to help you with this as we go on. See, God knows where we are. God does not want us to be shook up. He wants us to look up. Amen. He wants us to wait our turn. And if you wait your turn and be faithful to God, God will bring you through whatever you're going through. I promise you that. The Bible says that when Noah got on the ark, God shut the door. And the Bible tells us that God can open a door that no man can shut. But at the same time, I want to tell you, God closes a door that no man can open also. And if God ever shuts a door on you and you go through that and you try to open that door again, guess what? It won't ever open back up to you. So if God has shut a door, that's the time to wait on the Lord. That's the time to fill your mind with the word of God. That's the time to fill your mouth with praise unto God. That's the time to come to church and just pour your heart out to God and worship him. I remember years ago that I told the Lord, I said, I will never ask anybody to let me come and preach a revival for them. I said, if you want me to preach, you'll open the door. You are the door. And I was intimidated at times, and I would tell my wife, I promised God I would never do that, but I feel like going and telling that person I want to preach. I said, God is like you put me on a shelf, and I want to preach. But I tell you what, I didn't waste my time. I studied the Word of God. I got alone with God, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I sought God. And I got my sermons together, and I said, hallelujah. When somebody does call me, I'm going to be loaded. Glory to God. So don't be intimidated by anything. Just know that you are following what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be going through the storm of your life, and you may feel like that God has forgotten all about you. But every time God closes a door, God opens a door. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, and God remembered Noah and opened the door. See, after a duration of time, Elisha, through faithfulness, he received Elijah's mantle and a double portion anointing. And he went on to do even greater things. See, Elijah did 7 major miracles, and Elisha goes beyond this to 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 major miracles. And now Elisha is on his deathbed, and he is one miracle short of what God has promised him. And suddenly he decides that instead of helping himself with his last miracle, he hears that Joash, the king of Israel, is losing the battle out on the battlefield. And he invites him off the battlefield into his bedchamber to talk to him. And what he wants to do is to teach the king something. And this is what he wants to teach the king. Real victory is not won in public places. Real victory is won in your private time alone with God. It's in your private life that you learn to praise. It's in your private life that you begin to worship. It's in your private life that God gives you revelation. And if you ever get right in your private life, then public things will start happening in your life and your ministry. The problem is we try to get everything out here, but God wants us to get alone with him and not neglect the private time. See, real victory is not won on public display. It is not won out in the world, but real victory is won in your private life, with your private walk, with your private worship, with your private prayer life unto God. And if you're a private worshiper and a private prayer and a private Bible reader, God will bless your life. And that is the key to the victory that so many people seek after. They think they can go out on the internet and get a sermon and it's going to work for them. If you haven't internalized the Word of God, if you haven't made that a part of you, if you haven't lived through some stuff, if God hasn't taken you through some hard places, then it won't work. But I tell you what, when God is molding you and shaping you and making you into the vessel of honor that he wants you to be, then God will set you forth at the right time. He told Peter, I said, God, that was a fisherman. He said, well, he didn't work till I told him to launch out into the deep. Nothing works until God makes it work. Oh, you can do something. You can get some blessings, but nothing really works until you get along with God, get a word from God, and then God does what you and I cannot do. We're starting to see people come back to this church, and they're going to come. They've left, but at least 3 I can name right now that they found out that God is in the house. They found out. I hugged one of them's neck today, and they told me, said, I'm home again. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. I'm home again. People are coming, and we just thank God for that. But if you're a private worshiper and a private prayer and a private Bible reader, then God will bless your life. God is no respecter of person, and he will bless anyone that will get alone with him privately. And when you get with him privately, he will start blessing you publicly. I mean, I preached it several years ago. I said, Westmoreland has a coat of many colors. And, you know, it's hard to hide a coat of many colors. When God starts blessing your life, it's hard to hide what God is doing. And people don't like it when God starts giving you that coat of many colors. That, you know, there were 12 brothers there in Jacob's family, but only one of them got that coat. And he stood out. His name was Joseph. He had a coat of many colors because privately he worshiped God. He served God. He had a dream, and he lived his dream out. So whatever God has told you, God will work it out if you will be faithful. I'm trying to help some of you. You need to develop a private, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In your ministry, my ministry, and everyone's ministry will take off. We're all ministers unto the Lord. You cannot expect to God to do something outwardly, however, until you've done something inwardly. When is the last time you had an inward revival? When is the last time that you got alone privately and you worshiped God? I preached a sermon last week. You're going to sing again. How many of you sang a song unto the Lord before you got here? Somebody asked my daughter, Jessica, said, does it embarrass you when your daddy dances in church? She said, no, my daddy dances at home. Hallelujah. See, if you do it privately, it's going to come out publicly. And you can't be anything but who you are. Just be who you are. You have an anointing. Every one of us has an anointing. Don't try to be like somebody else. Just be the best you that you can be. And God will honor you. And God will give you untold blessings because God desires to bless you. Hallelujah. Go and praise God. Amen. You cannot expect God to do something outwardly until something has happened inwardly. If you would praise God and worship God before you get to church, you would be amazed at what will happen out there on the battlefield. Let me say that again. Am I in the right church? If you will worship God and if you will praise God inwardly and in your private place, you will be surprised at what happens out on the battlefield. See, it's not all about just a hot sermon and a hot service. I want to preach the best I can preach, but I tell you what. When everything is said and done, after God has blessed my life, I want to make sure one thing, that my relationship with God is right. I want to make sure that I am where God has placed me and I'm doing what God has asked me to do. And I know that if I am in that place, that God will fight all my battles. He will take care of all my need. If I'm not asking God to bless what I'm doing, I'm saying, God, let me do what you're blessing. And that's a big difference. Don't ask God to bless what you're doing. Ask God to help you to do what he's blessing. And if you'll do that, then God will take care of all your needs and fight all your battles. Now, you would think that if you're in a battle fighting with swords and bows and arrows that you should stay out on the battlefield. But Elisha said, I need for you to come off the battlefield and come up here in a private place alone with me. And then he said, take bows and arrows. In other words, you don't get your weapons out there, but you get your weapons and you get armed inwardly in a private place. Hallelujah. What you do and what I do in private is powerful. And that's the God whose eyes are watching you. But guess what? There's a devil who's watching you too. And he knows if you're suited up and if you're armed. And he knows if you're prayed up and if you're praising God. And he's watching you. He doesn't understand the future, but he's a snake. He's a serpent. He senses something in the atmosphere. And so he comes and he tries to discourage you. And he tries to get your mind off of what God has called you to do. And it doesn't matter what the thing is God has called you to. Don't ever lose your focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus and what he has called you into. Amen. See, you will never be a real public worshiper unless you're a private worshiper. The reason some people can't pray in public is because they don't pray in private. I hate to embarrass some of you, but if you can't praise God and worship God and cry tears of joy in private, you will never be able to do so in public. So make up your mind that you're going to serve God. Hallelujah. And so if nothing is coming and going on privately, then nothing is going to be happening publicly either. That's why it's so hard to get some people blessed. It's hard to get some people blessed. It's so important in your walk with God that you understand this. If you don't spend time alone with Jesus, how in the world do you expect your life to be rich and full of God's blessings? Now, what if all I ever did was to hold my wife's hand in public? We come to church, and I'm holding her hand, and everybody's looking at us in public, and then we go home, and when we get there, I don't talk to her. I don't say anything to her all week long, and all week long, I don't acknowledge her, and then we come back to church, and I hold her hand publicly. I promise you, if nothing's going on privately, nothing will be manifested publicly. And if my intimacy with my wife means that much, how much more does my intimacy mean with Jesus? That no matter what I do, no matter where God sends me, how God uses me, or you, or anyone else, my private devotion and my private life and my private worship and my private talk to God, it must be there. Do the blessings will not flow to me. I don't care who lays hands on you. I don't care who prophesies over you. If you don't worship God, if you don't spend time alone with him in private, people will know it in the public. Hallelujah. Go and praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the same thing about my wife is true with the bridegroom, Jesus. He's looking for people that will spend time alone with him. Elisha said, take bows and arrows in here. You're not out on the battlefield. You're in the bedchamber, Elisha said. But take bows and arrows in here and get armed in here. Quit watching all those people around you that are worshiping and start worshiping. Quit looking at everybody else and get your focus and your eyes on Jesus. I tell you, I don't ever want to lose my worship. Amen. I tell the Lord, I said, God, keep me tender and keep me holy. And Lord, let me cry real tears of joy, real tears when I think about what you've done for me. I don't want to ever lose my tenderness, God. See, if things ever get routine and we don't worship God, then it becomes a fake thing. It just becomes a form and a fashion. It just becomes a job. I don't want to ever get what I do in this pulpit to turn into a job. It is not a job to me. It is something I love to do. I love it. I love my career, but this is not my career. This is my calling. And I love it. I love to see the miracle working power of God. I love to see people blessed. I want to get my own life in order through my private time alone with God. But I want to step out of that prayer closet suited up with the whole armor of God. Full of God's power, full of God's glory, because I know that so many hurting, crying, sighing, dying people that need some power from on high, and somebody's got to carry it to them. So I said, God, I'll spend my time alone with you. And then when that person needs something, God, I ask you to manifest your glory through me. It's not the position. I could care less about the position. God is not a denominational God. He is a God that loves people. And if the world will ever get their eyes on Jesus, praise God, miracles will happen. If you'll worship him in private, I promise you when you come to this church and I lay these holy hands on you, the power of God will strike you and you will be healed by the glory of God. He's a miracle worker. Get along with God. Spend time alone with God. And when you're fighting the battles of life, God will send a prophet to you. God will send somebody to speak into your life like he sent to King Joash here. So come off the battlefield. I want you to get alone privately with me. Hallelujah. I just decided a long time ago I'm going to worship him. May God give us the heart of a worshiper. Amen. Not just in public, but alone with God in the private place. Hallelujah. He said, because when you get alone with me, you are arming yourself. You've got weapons, but you've got to pick them up. So pick up your bow and your arrow in private. I mean, I'm a warrior. And I know about war. But you know what? They took us and brought us into a place called boot camp. August the 23rd is etched into my brain. August 23rd, 51 years ago, I showed up at Parris Island, South Carolina. It radically changed my life forever. But they didn't just send me into combat. They took me alone, and they trained me, and they taught me. And I went through hand-to-hand combat. I went through drown-proofing. I went through all types of general orders and discipline and have to stand out in front of the chow hall and say, "March in the chow." "Aye, aye, sir." "I can't hear you, girls." "March in the chow." "Aye, aye, sir." "I can't hear you, girls." "March in the chow." "Aye, aye, sir." "Go." You don't do anything till they say do it. Just like Jesus told Peter, launch out into the deep. See, when you're a military man, when you get under orders, you know something about listening to people that give orders. Because you'll never be able to give orders until you can take orders. You can never be great until you're something small. And God has taken me through a lot of small places so he can get me to where he wants to get me to. And God will take you through small places so he can take you and make you great so you can touch the world with the power of God and the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on and praise him. Look at your life and where God has brought you from and what God has done for you today. So we get our weapons privately. That's what I'm trying to say. Just like they trained us Marines before they sent us into combat. When we got there, let me tell you something. We knew what we were doing. We had firepower. We knew how to run patrols. We knew how to read a compass. We knew how to read a map. We knew how to get in on that radio and call fire from Da Nang if we needed to. Jet planes, napalm. We could rain fire down on the enemy. We had great firepower, and we've been trained on how to use it. So get your stuff alone with God privately, and when you get out on the battlefield, it'll work for you. He said, pick your weapons up, pick up your bows and your arrows in here, and then he said, go to the window. What he's saying is, look out from where you are. Go to the window. Look out from what you're going through. And I want you to see what is coming. Look out from where you are. Look from what you're going through and look at what is coming. Don't focus on what you're looking at now, but go to the window and look out at what is coming. Hallelujah. And then he said, take bow and arrow. And he said, shoot. Shoot. He said, shoot it. Pull back the arrow. Even though the battle's out there, privately, he pulls it back and he looks out from what he's going through to what is coming. He said, and I want you to shoot. I want you to take that bow and arrow and I want you to shoot. He said, I want you to look at what's coming. I want you to get suited up here. I can remember before we ever fired a first shot on the rifle range with live fire. They took us to what's called snapping in. And for one solid week, you talking about little things, they got a barrel out there with a target that big on it. And you got a M14 rifle in your hand and you don't have any ammunition in there. And they're teaching you spot well, the exact and uniform position on the butt, the exact and uniform position of the shooter's cheek upon the butt of the rifle, sometimes using the thumb as a reference point. And then they teach you sight alignment. Sight alignment, when the tip of the front sight blade is centered from left to right in the rear sight aperture. That's a little hole you're looking through. And they teach you breath control. And what you're doing, you're sitting there in a position like this, snapped in with a weapon. And you got to squeeze the trigger till a hammer falls without the shooter's knowledge. No bang. No bang. Just. And then some guy over there, he takes that thing, you got the weapon to your shoulder. He takes that bolt and runs it to the rear and cocks that weapon again and brings it home. And you sit there and you aim. Nothing. One solid week of nothing but small things. What are they teaching you? They're teaching you a tremendous discipline. They're taking you and molding you into the product that they want. Jeremiah said, I went down to the potter's house, and I saw the potter. He had a vessel on the wheel. See, we don't want to go through some of the things God puts us through. But he says, in the great house, they're not only vessels of gold and of silver, but some of wood and some of clay, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the things of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto God, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. And I promise you, what you do in private will determine what happens out there in public. It determines what will happen on your job. It determines what will happen in your finances. It determines what will happen in your joy. It determines what will happen in your peace. It will determine what happens in your walk with God. Woo! Hallelujah. What you do privately. Alone, shoot. Now, a week later, they carried us to the rifle range, and they gave us real ammo. And for one solid week, they train you and train you and train you. And then as on one day, only one day, it's called qualification day. I don't care how good you shot all week. You better be concentrating. You better understand every principle. You better understand everything that they have taught you. Because when you squeeze that trigger, that projectile is going to go out on a path and looks like that it's going straight, but it isn't. You got windage. It's going up like this, and it's going around like this elevation. And it's going, boom, right in the center of that target. And that's when you get your fire for record. So the prophet said, shoot, pull the arrows back. Even though the battle is out there, and look at what's coming. See, the devil wants you to focus on where you are. But God says, go to the window. I promise you something is coming. I promise you, God said, that I'm going to bless you. I promise you that I know what I'm going to do with your life if you won't give up. Don't just stand there looking at what you wish would happen, but shoot. Don't just stand there wishing that you were further along, but shoot. In other words, let your faith get out before you get out. Let your arrows get out before you get out. And your arrows are your words, and your arrows are your praise. I'm talking about the arrows of deliverance. Hallelujah. Your arrows are your confession of God's promises and God's word. Don't just stand there and take what is happening and allow the enemy to defeat you, but you need to shoot something out from where you are into your future and into where you want to go. Send your words out in the direction that you want your life to go. Start talking God's word. Start saying what God says. In other words, start talking victory when you're staring at defeat. Amen. Start talking healing when you're feeling sick. Start talking blessings and prosperity when your bank account is at the zero factor. I'll never forget when my wife's job was eliminated and she said, Jerry, you can't pay your bills. I said, I don't have to. I said, I've heard from God. All I've got to do is work and do my part and God will take care of the rest. I could have said, oh God, it doesn't look right on paper. I'm an accountant. It just doesn't look right. That was June the 10th, 1986. And sometimes in October of 1989, I mean, we've gone through something, but I've never missed a payment. I've never missed anything. I didn't even miss the money. God just kept sending it from somewhere. I don't know where he did it, but I had a promise from God. He said, if you'll be faithful to me, I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing. There'll not be room enough to receive it. And I just kept walking with God and I just kept praising God and I just kept shooting my praise out there. I wasn't preaching much. I was just working. I was getting my stuff together. So when I did preach though, hallelujah. I was praying, I was fasting, I was seeking God. And that was from June the 10th till October thereabouts in 1989. And God opened the windows of heaven. And guess what? They've been open ever since. Did I go through some hard places? I did. But I didn't let that stop me. Hallelujah. I'd heard from God. Shoot and let the devil know that you're not going to take it. shoot, shoo, and let the devil know that you're not about to quit. Amen. Shoot, shoot, glory to God, just shoot, shoo, shoo, shoo. Shoot some arrows out into the future. I started to bring a bow and arrow to preach this thing. Hallelujah. Might get somebody with that one, though. Hallelujah. Put rubber stoppers on it. That still wouldn't be enough to stop that arrow. Shoot. And when you feel like you're dying, talk about living. I've been there. I said, I shall live and not die and declare the glory of God. Talk about it. There's a miracle in your mouth if you'll only talk. Quit letting the devil have the upper hand. You got authority and power in the name of Jesus, but you got to use it. Amen. Quit expecting everybody else to pray your prayers for you and get alone in some private time, some private devotion, and talk to God and let God give you direction in your life. Hallelujah. Shoot out into your future. Speak words from where you are into the direction that you want your life to go. Don't give up. Shoot. Sometimes you have to say, I'm just going to shoot my way out. Started to name this thing the Great Shootout. Hallelujah. I'm going to shoot my way out of this thing. Hallelujah. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit having a pity party. Nobody's listening anyway. I figured that out a long time ago. They don't. They got so many problems of their own. You know, they just, the world is full of problems. So get along with God and let God solve yours and then go be a blessing to somebody else. It does work that way. I found out, you know, that the preacher couldn't get me out. I went up there, he prayed for me, but he didn't get me out. You ever felt like that? I've done everything, I'm not out, but devil, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to shoot my way out now. I'm going to shoot out some praise. I'm going to shoot up some glories. I'm going to shoot up some hallelujahs. I'm going to shoot out some thank you, Jesus. Here I go, devil, look out. Here I come. I'm going to shoot my way out. Why? Because it's the era of the Lord's deliverance. Hallelujah. So you got to shoot your way out. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. And you don't get out by complaining either. Let me just go and work this thing a little bit. I bind the spirit of complaining. I bind the quitting spirit. You don't get out by quitting. It tries to get on me. I know it does. But you can't complain your way out. I have very few blue Mondays. But I am human. Some preachers say, I feel like quitting on Monday. I don't. I just get me my Bible and I start reading and I just start talking to God and getting ready for Monday. Amen. Most preachers feel that way. I mean, you know, I tell my wife now, I said, don't talk to me about church when we get home tonight. I don't want to hear about the people's problems. I've preached and I've ministered all day and I've done it all week long. I need to rest my brain. But if you need me, call me. I'll come. I promise you. Hallelujah. But I'm going to spend some private time alone with God before I do. Amen. Change what you're saying. Be what God says. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So just go on and say what God says. And see, if your words will do what your words will do, think about what God's words will do. He watches over it to perform it. Change what you're saying. Change what you're expecting. And turn things around and shoot for where you want to go. Hallelujah. Get a good aim. Amen on that target. I tell you, every time that I've ever felt like giving up, the Holy Ghost would come to me and encourage me. Just praise. Just shout. Just dance. Shoot. 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 Shoot up some worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I keep thinking about drug addicts. They shooting up. They need to come out here and shoot up on Jesus and get their lives changed. Glory to God. One man said, there's no high like the Most High. Amen. I tell you, every time I've ever felt like giving up, God came to me and encouraged me. If you memorize scriptures, I promise you, the Holy Ghost will bring it to you. And all I have to do is say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. And I just start praising God and just start saying his word. And pretty soon, guess what? I'm not down anymore. Woo! Glory! And I go through the house just dancing and shouting, speaking in tongues and praising God. And if it'll work for me, it'll work for you. Somebody said, I think you've lost your mind. I said, I have, but I've got the mind of Christ instead. Hallelujah. I lost my mind, and I've got the mind of Christ. Go on, tell somebody next to you, I got the mind of Christ, and I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to shoot my way at this thing. Hallelujah. You can sing again. Don't throw in a towel. Shoot up some praise. Hallelujah. Shoot up some thanksgiving. Then the prophet said, take these arrows and beat the ground. Wop, wop. Whop. He hit the ground three times, and the old prophet got mad. He said, why did you stop? I feel like talking to some people sometimes. Say, why did you stop? Why did you quit? Why didn't you just keep on doing what God says to do? Let me tell you something. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But greater it is to fight life through and say at the end, the dream came true. Hallelujah. See, one of these days, I don't know how old you are, but you're going to be my age if you're not older than me. I'm 71. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But greater it is to fight life through and say at the end, hallelujah, glory to God, the dream came true. Go on, praise God that your dreams are coming true. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Just keep on believing God. He hit the prophet. Prophet hit the ground. The king hit the ground three times, and the prophet said, you should have kept on hitting it because that's how you would defeat the enemy. What you do inwardly, what you keep on doing inwardly will be on display outwardly, and you will defeat the enemy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me ask you something. Have you ever needed a miracle? And you ask God to give your miracle to someone else? Have you ever prayed for someone else to be healed when you were sick? I can remember preaching the word of God when I would go home. Only my wife knew it. And I would pray for people and God would do healing miracles. I saw people saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget this. Joey Teller and his wife come into church one day, and between the services, Sunday school and the service, he said, I haven't been able to move my neck. And I hadn't slept in 3 days. And they were both, you know, his wife was in tears, Sister Kelly. And the Spirit of God come over me. I said, God is going to heal you right now. And I reached out and said, be healed. He said, it's gone. I said, I knew it was gone. And guess what? When he walked away, he and his wife rejoicing, the devil said, what about your neck? I'd been going to a chiropractor. And my neck was like, I said, what about my neck, devil? I said, I'll get mine too. Look at this. Woo, glory. Go on, praise God. Amen. Have you ever prayed for somebody else when you needed a miracle? Have you ever tried to encourage someone else when you needed encouragement? Sometimes you might feel like a hypocrite trying to encourage somebody else because what you're going through is so much worse than what they're going through. But that's all right. Encourage them. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. When you try to help somebody else, you get your focus off of you, and then God will give you your breakthrough. So many people, they are focused totally on themselves. And that's why so many people are depressed. Because all they can ever think about is themselves, amen. And all they can see is themselves. But when you begin to give to others, it moves the hand of God to bring deliverance your way. I tell people that are down and depressed, I said, go to a nursing home, look at those old folk out there, and just take them a stuffed animal if you can. Just shake their hands, pray for them, smile at them, show them some love, and I promise you, you'll get your mind off of the problems you're going through. When you start giving away to others, all of a sudden, your focus changes from you to what they're going through, and then God, because you sowed a seed of mercy and love and kindness, God gives you your breakthrough. Go on, praise God. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And so the prophet, he died giving his last miracle to somebody else. He died one miracle short of the double portion. And they took his body and they lowered it into a hole. And while they're doing that, the Moabites are in a war and one of their soldiers is killed. And while they are fleeing and running for their life, they throw that dead man in the hole on that old prophet's bones. Now, bones represent dryness. It's over. It's finished. Bones mean it's dead. Your dreams are dead. But if God says, and if God has ever made you a promise, let me tell you something. It is not over until God says it's over. And they threw that dead body of the Moabite soldier into that grave of that old prophet. And when it touched his bones of the prophet, up popped miracle number 14. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Bible says that the dead man stood up on his feet and came out of that grave. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody keep you down. Just know that God is for you, and no matter what you're going through, if God be for you, who can stand against you? If God has given you a promise, God will fulfill that promise if you will be faithful. Don't abort your promise. Don't abort what God has said by being discouraged. That's the greatest weapon the devil has. He knows he can't get you with lust. He knows he's not going to get you with pornography. He knows he's not going to get you with lying and stealing. So he comes and he sends his strongest demon against you to discourage you. So when he discourages you, just praise God. He's hit me with everything he's got. I'm going to be encouraged because he's trying to discourage me. Woo! Hallelujah. You just got to get a shout and a dance and a praise about you. And if you'll do that, praise God, God will bring you through and give you the victory. Hallelujah. Friend, if God has told you double portion, then it's going to be double portion. If you will praise him, if you will raise your hands, if you will worship him. If all you got is dry bones, let me tell you something. Praise God. If your dreams have dried up, then praise God. It's hard for most people to do this. It is. Dry bones. If you pray for somebody else when you're going through a hard place, then God will give you a miracle. Yes. That is what this story is all about. That is the principle that is found in this account. That if you're going through a hard place and you're one miracle short of what God has promised you, and it seems like you're right on the verge of it, bless somebody else. And when you bless that someone else and you worship private and you praise private and you pray privately, read your Bible privately, you'll be able to bless that person, and then God will give you that miracle that you need. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible when you only believe.
Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
I believe, Lord.
All things are possible.
everything.
Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe.
I just choose to believe.
Lord,
it's my faith. I do what I want to with it.
All things are possible. Lord, I believe.
If you have a special need tonight, if you've been praying in your private place, and you've been believing God with everything you have, and you've done everything you know, if you'll come up publicly, I believe God will meet that need. I don't have to lay my hands upon you. You're not coming to me anyway. You're coming to Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus and say, Lord, I'm in the house of God. I'm in your presence. I'm where the God who can do anything is. And I'm coming to your altar. And I'm coming to your son, Jesus. And I'm bringing my need.
Oh, yes. And all things are possible.
They're so possible.
Lord, I believe.
I've been prayed for by every man of God that's come around. I've been prayed for by the great ones.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Only
that was your problem if you're going to a man. You got to go to Jesus. Lord.